into a centering prayer exercise. And so if you would, sit tall in your seat, both feet firmly planted on the floor. Yeah, hands can be, I like to put them on my stomach to breathe in, breathe out, or you can rest them gently on your thighs. And then close your eyes and breathe in nice and deep. And that's that part, if your hands are on your stomach, you're literally bringing your focus to your breath as if you were going to touch your hands on the inside of your stomach with your breath. That's where that comes from. And so the Bible says that we are spirit, soul, and body. So right now your body is present in the room, you're here. So take a deep breath in, that's part of your physical aspect. And as you empty out, just release completely everything. And so feel what's happening in your body, any sensations where it's uncomfortable, where you're tired, any of that, just let it be. The noises that are going on, whatever you hear, whatever you are sensing, don't ask it to change, just let it be there. And I'm a visual person, so I'll offer a couple visualizations. So that consciousness, that place that you are, right? You actually want to drop it into your spirit man, because it says like we're body, we're soul. So your soul is like your mind, all the things that you're thinking. So if you try not to neither reject nor latch on to any thought that's coming, it's just letting whatever come, let it be. And whatever emotions are present, whatever judgments you have, just let them be. Don't give them a huge insight to your place. But press into a little bit deeper. And that would be where we ask the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell on the inside of us. Right? And Jesus, he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Right? And he speaks to the woman at the well. She says, where is this living water? Right? And he says, if you knew, you'd ask of me and I would give it to you and you'd live forever. Right? So that's the spirit of heaven, the spirit of God that we're tapping into. And so inside, deep, deep within you is your spirit man. Kind of probably, that's why I have you touch your belly. It's a good place, right? From the center of your being, from out of your belly will flow rivers, right? So in that, bringing your consciousness and your awareness there, breathe in really deep, empty out. And then what's your favorite name of God? There's a Richard Rohr, he talks about the Yahweh breath. So breathe in and just say Yahweh. On the Yah on the way in and way on the way out. It's a good, that's a name of God. If you love the name of Jesus and that makes sense, you go there. Just kind of like, that's the presence, right? If you say Holy Spirit, Abba Father, how do you connect with the Spirit of God? Because he says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in your midst. He said, I'll come and I'll make a home within you. I will dwell within you. I will dine with you. And part of this is the practice of communion with the Holy Spirit. And you just kind of, so in that, as you're breathing in and you're breathing out and you're feeling your body, that whatever sensations are there, and you're kind of dropping your awareness into a deeper place, beyond the emotions, beyond the beating of your heart, the sensations that are happening. And it's that place of communion with God, the indwelling of God, that's unlike any other God that is preached about in any other religion that is practiced. It's the one that comes and dwells within. And so as you focus on that name and you focus on the empowering that comes, and the best way that I love to describe it is like this gravitational pull of love. That's what you want to surrender to. It's not like a nothingness, like a abstract kind of, if you could just silence everything and just be, it's a communing with the Holy Spirit. And then what comes up, like are you seeing things, are you hearing things, are you feeling things, just kind of take inventory And continue your breath. And so, Holy Spirit, we just thank you. Thank you that you come and you make a home, that right here sitting is this unique expression of God in the earth, the movement and the love of Jesus in the earth. And I just ask right now, God, as we just center our beings, we call our spirits to attention, and we just ask for more of the Holy Spirit, just more awareness, that you would expand our comprehension, you would expand the depth, the width, the height, the breadth of love that we can contain, that we can express. And so right now, Holy Spirit, we just unite our hearts to fear your name. We trust you as the truth, the way, that you'll lead us into a greater revelation of who Jesus is for ourselves and for those around us. And so we just thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. And in the clutter of life, in the noise and the vibrancy of life, we just calm ourselves, we calm our mind, we calm our emotions, and we submit our spirit to the Holy Spirit. God, and I thank you for the avenues in which you speak. I thank you for clearing of space and grounding of our physical bodies, of our hearts, of our understanding, that we would be grounded in the Word of God. And Lord, we just confess before you that we want to have rivers of living water flow from deep within us. God, we want to tap into the rivers that are by the throne of heaven, the throne of God, that would come and give life and feed into trees that would be for healing and just the aspects that the angelic beings that are here to support us and to bring heaven to earth, that we would latch into and really come with a full understanding. And so we just trust you with our hearts. We trust you with our minds. We trust you. And we just say that you are good and that you are beautiful. And so just in this time, just keep your eyes closed and kind of be here. And I just want to take a time to worship Jesus. And the best way, one of my favorite ways to do that is just to agree with what he says about himself. And one of my favorite books and stories is the Song of Solomon. And it begins to describe this beautiful Savior. And so we just, in your mind's eye, in your imagination, your picture presence, imagine the cross. Imagine Jesus. Imagine yourself at the foot of the cross. And in that place, and just turning your heart and saying yes to Jesus. Just seeing him there, and whatever pops up for you, wherever it comes, maybe it's based on the Passion of the Christ, maybe it's based on a different movie, or maybe it's just what you see and how you interpret what you've read and how you've grown up. But just in that place, we just say thank you, Jesus, for the cross. We say thank you for the sacrifice, God, that we could come into eternal life. And we recognize now that you are the perfect picture of the Father's heart in the earth. And so we want, God, to understand, and we want to unite our hearts into this realm. And we just say thank you, God, that you've done what no other God could do. Thank you for shrouding yourself in humanity and sacrificing something that most of us hold so dear, and that's just life, and the life that we know and the life that we understand. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you knew where you came from, you knew where you were going, and that you called us into that. You said, here she is. You said, look at these ones that are sitting before me. Look at these ones. I desire, Father, that they would be with me where I am. And so, Jesus, we say we want to be with you. We want to be with you to know and understand the Father. God, that this is eternal life. And so we latch into, and we just thank you for access. We thank you for revelation. We thank you that you call us, here we are, that you're saying, come up here and understand, come up here and experience, come up here and know. And so we just thank you for access. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the power of the name of Jesus, that when Jesus is spoken out, that our physical bodies line up with the blood that was shed at the cross, with the crown of thorns that was adorned this beautiful face, and this beautiful head of royalty, of royal blood was shed. And we just thank you and we receive healing. We say, by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed of mental illness, of depression, of anxiety. We are healed. We receive the healing as the blood is poured out. Thank you, God. Thank you that physical ailments have no power under the presence and blood of Jesus. We just thank you for the work. We thank you, God, that you didn't stay dead, but you rose and you conquered death. You conquered the power of hell. So we just thank you. We thank you and we worship you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we say, chief among 10,000 to my soul is he who paid such a beautiful price, who reconciled and made a new covenant between Son and Father, in which we can live in the freedom of choice, in the freedom of your resurrection power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you accomplished. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. And just reminded of Jesus that I have to leave. I have to leave, but in my place, I'm going to send the Comforter. He's going to come. And in order for the Holy Spirit to actually come and dwell within each one of us and dwell and for the fullness of covenant to happen, Jesus needed to ascend to heaven. And so we just receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on the disciples. The breath of God, the Ruach of God, came forth and inhabited people and empowered people to be the greatness of who they were called. And so we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And in your own voice and in your own way, I just want you to actually speak out whatever comes to you. Just thank you, Jesus, for whatever it is. You know, maybe you're feeling really present or really peaceful or whatever sensation is happening. Or maybe you need to speak the opposite of what's happening in your life. You know, thank you, Jesus. I receive healing for anxiety. I receive financial blessing. I thank you, God, that I have more than enough. Thank you that I have all of the resources of heaven. Whatever it is, just begin to thank him. And we can just kind of just put it out in the atmosphere, because there's a power that happens with our words. So we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are so beautiful. There is none like you. God, thank you. Thank you, God, that I have no lack. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. The way, the truth, and the life, we worship you. Thank you. You are holy. You are holy. Mm-hmm. I just want you to stay in that, kind of in that place. You can feel, I don't know what you feel. But you can just, because it's like once we tap into that place and we kind of empower our spirit to join and be one with the Holy Spirit, that's a powerful place to read the Bible from. And that's a powerful place to pray from or to worship from. And so that was just like a different, right? We sing songs together. That's a worship. That's a form of worship. And so what we just did was also a form of worship. So I have a couple. One of the things I've been on lately is the chef's table. Have I shared this? Chef's table. So it's a Netflix original. So I would say definitely do that. And because it's people's stories, I think that's one thing. Is that it's people telling their stories. They just came out with season 3, and the first episode of season 3 is this Buddhist monk, this nun. So she's not like you know, a chef that's making food all the time, you know, kind of thing, like in a restaurant. She actually makes temple food for her fellow monks, I don't know, sisters, brothers, whatever she calls them. Huh? Whatever. I don't know. They're all, you know, they all live there at the monastery. And anyways, and Tommy and I watched, and I actually ended up taking some notes from her because she had said a few things that I was like, oh my gosh, that's so good. But the takeaway that I have in watching her is she's just the cutest little thing. At one point, she goes and teaches, and so she's actually walking through, where does she live? The Buddhist monk. She's going down to the university, so she actually goes into the city, because where she lives, like, they're talking about the way that she gardens, it's very, just very organic without being like, oh, we're non-GMO organic, you know what I'm saying? It's just very, like, this is the way that the cycle of earth and, like, you know, all of that stuff. Where, do you remember what?
Korea.
Korea. Is she in Korea? Anyways, and she goes, she's going to go to the university, and so she is, like, just this shortest little thing walking in the midst of this busy, like, and it's just such a beautiful picture because she's just her, and she's happy, and she's peaceful, and they show pictures of her actually cooking and mixing the ingredients, and at one point, we were like, it's a meditation for her, cooking. It's like watching somebody, it was her form of meditation, you know, right? And then I think towards the end of the episode, she had said that, like, cooking food is like meditation for me. And it's like, oh my gosh, you can see that. Like, isn't that the way that we want to live, right? In this kind of this ever-presence kind of place of, like, she's just really at peace with who she is. And so anyways, I would say just watch it, get from you. You know, I don't agree with all of her, you know, point of worship and all of that, but it's beautiful to watch her. So I would say that. I always love to cross my right leg. I'm having such an issue with my hip. I feel really out of sorts. So Chef's Table, Netflix, season 3, episode 1, you'll probably get hooked on some other ones. Towards the end, I think it was an American guy that's down there, and he's telling the story when he went to visit and kind of study what she was doing, and she takes him down to the river that's not far from their little monastery, and tells, like, doesn't say a word, just tells him, shh, like, listen, and he's like, okay, but he's like city guy, you know, so he's going like, this is really, I don't know what she's doing or what the point was, and then he's like, but then I hear the sound of the water that's moving, and I begin to focus on that, and she says, orchestra. That's how she told her, like, that's where she, you know, like, just her kind of, it was that kind of place of, like, he's like, I never, in the busyness of life, I think we miss out on a lot, you know? So, just a beautiful picture of life, of meditation, and granted, she, you know, gave her whole life to practicing that. So there's a lot where it's like, okay, you know, that's going to look different for me because I have small children. It's going to look different for you with jobs, like, whatever. But what if your job was actually a form of meditation of worship? You know, not to your job, but to God, right? Doesn't he say, like, come and do everything unto the Lord, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read you real quick. John 7, verse 38. That is, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And in some translation, I think New King James, says, out of their bellies will flow rivers of living water. So, so good. I think of how many times I feel like I can't work my app, but that's okay. I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to go back. How many times I feel like a little bit surviving in life, right? And a little bit like the woman at the well that says, like, please tell me of this like water source. Where is this water source? Because I would like to, you know, like, and I know that part of her motive was like, I would like to not have to come out here and, you know, undergo the ridicule or, you know, the work and all this stuff. Like, where's this tap that's never ending? And I think that God works in abundance. He works in above and beyond what we think or imagine. And so he goes like, I don't just want to fill you up. I want you to have actual rivers coming out of you. Right? It's like, and I think a lot of times I stop in the survival of it. Like, if I could just get to a place where I feel okay, or I feel like whatever. And he's going like, no, but I want you to really be able to release and to go bigger. Because not only are you going to have what you need for yourself, you're actually going to become a life source for other people. And that's really like the purpose of community sometimes, right? It's nice to not be, I know we've told this story like so many times, you know, going to Love Coalition the first time ever, and us being the absolute train wrecks, right? We're like negative balance in our account, like just totally soul realm is like we're a mess and that sort of thing, and all of like the prophetic words, all of the ministry was kind of geared towards us, and that feels like kind of, you know, thank God, but at the same time it's like, oh man, like we're just the train wrecks, we're the messy ones in the room, in need, we're the needy ones. And then like years later, so we've gone 5-6 years, you know, and actually having years where we've looked at each other and it's like, oh my God, it's so nice to be able to minister, like to be the ones that are like not in the mush pot of like absolute need and like, you know, sobbing and snotting everywhere, but actually being able to give encouraging words and speak and see things and release it. It's like going like, God, that feels good too, right? It always feels good to get like a word from God or get, you know, ministered by God and by people. It always feels great. But then to be able to actually do it, it feels like, this is so nice, you know. So, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see. This is just, am I right, Tommy?
What's up?
Am I in the right? Okay, yeah, because, so part of what I wanted to do by starting with centering prayer is actually getting us in a place of being grounded and aware of his spirit, of his presence, not externally, not mythically, but internally, like in a real reality, that's a promise of God that says, I'll come and I'll dwell within you. Right? I'm just going to make sure I'm... Okay, 14. So in talking and kind of hovering in this area of the prophetic and having a great resource like Sean Bolts, Tommy and I, I'm just going to pull Tommy in on some of these because we had a conversation. We were chatting about it yesterday. But I think what happens is, so Sean Bolts, from what I know of him and the experience, because I remember him back in Kansas City days, like being in Kansas City, and his gifting was has changed, like in the last few years, and he's really had powerful encounter. Like a lot of times, the information that he gets comes from angels that come and visit him. Like he has angelic visitations, and he's super gifted in the prophetic. But I've watched it change in the years that I've known him. I've watched it get more intense and more specific with the angelic visitations and that sort of thing. And it's like, and then Ivan Roman, he prophesied over the Rev gathering via video. And we have a relationship, Tommy more so than I was telling him. I haven't spent a whole lot of time with Ivan, so I'm not entirely familiar with his prophetic, but he holds the office of a prophet in a lot of ways. Same with Julian that Tommy shared a word, office of a prophet, right? Paul Kane, some of these people, amazing. And I think what they do for us is they create one, a hunger that says, oh, that's possible, right? Like I can see it. Like there's somebody that a human that inhabits this. And it's going like, that's amazing. And it creates capacity for us to move into something, which is fantastic. The flip side of that is it can become our standard, and that's just not reality for all of us, right? And so part of why we want to take the journey that we want to take is so that you can prophesy and figure out how you hear from God. for you. And if you get a visitation, do it. Yes. But don't let that be your standard or your standard of success is what I'm trying to say. So is how I feel in that. So in centering prayer and this kind of like going like, here's all of these people that are doing this amazing thing. And if there's any part of you that says like, oh, I want to do that, or that would be awesome. And that's the yes in your spirit that says, I want more of God. I want to do it. But we also want to equip you in a way that you're familiar with the voice of God for you. And part of that is where I felt like in today, kind of when Josh was like, do you want to share at all? And it's like, for me, it is a couple things. It is that the point of the prophetic, the point of all of this is to be a friend of God. To be a friend of God, like in relationship with. And we view him in lots of, right? He's Father, he's Lover, he's Savior, he's King, he's all of these things. But there's something that happens when we walk in relationship, and the whole point of all of it is that we would love him and we would love others the way that we love ourselves. And I think in a lot of ways we don't always see ourselves the way that we see others, the access that we have, right? It's like, I don't know if you're like the number one critic for yourself. Most of us are. Like, but it feels good when somebody, like, I don't know, how many of you have you asked this question? Most of the time I'm just outside. But how many of you have had a time or an experience where somebody has spoken something, prayed something, or released something over you that if you were to be completely honest, that's something that was already in there, that like you kind of hoped was like there, but you'd never say it out loud? Like maybe you'd share it with your spouse, but probably not. You know, it's like this, that thing, and somebody called something and it was like, I always wanted that to be true. Have you had that? Yeah. I know you have.
I have. I'm trying to think.
Yeah. I remember when Jake Hamilton prophesied over you.
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay. Anybody? Yeah? Can you? Yeah. Right? You guys just shared last week, you and about just that kind of thing, right? Like just releasing kind of even in that place of like your feet, as simple as your feet, where it's going like, I never even would have paid attention, but it's like God, it's like, oh my gosh, like that's a moment, an encounter moment. And I think that's part of that is we have the privilege and the honor to do that for other people that are within our sphere. And it may not be stadium Christianity, you know, like it may not be the arenas in which some people get to operate in, and that's okay, right? Because it's like you may be the life source, that life river that somebody needs right in that moment, and that's the opportunity. And so being a friend of God, Tommy Green. Talking about being a friend of God, which poses this kind of relational, relational aspect. 1 Corinthians 12, right?
14.
Let's see.
Which is interesting because 1 Corinthians, like, the letter to the Corinthians is written to a church that's so messed up that they literally think that because they're coming from, like, a pagan culture that's, like, polytheistic, they thought that every time someone operated in a specific gift, it was a different god. So there's a god of healing, a god of prophecy, a god of miracles, a god. And so Paul is trying to write to this church going, like, it's one spirit. It's one spirit, one faith, one baptism. So it's not a bunch of different gods. It's actually the same God. But they were still operating in power. And they were like a total mess. Massive sexual immorality in the church. Like people that are totally carnal and competing with each other. Pride, arrogance, all the same stuff. And yet, miracles, signs, wonders. Like, I mean, just power stuff happening. And Paul is still trying to... Just the thing that's encouraging is this is happening in the church, and Paul is still trying to correct aspects of their character. He doesn't shut down the flow of the Spirit, even while he's massively jamming them up because they're so in error, like all over the place. So it's like if you could say to yourself, just because I'm a train wreck doesn't mean I can't prophesy. Like, that's real. Like, just because I'm a mess doesn't mean I'm not a miracle. Like, it's still real. So as he goes through Corinthians, he's outlining the church culture, and he's saying, you guys, there's one gift, one baptism. It's a brilliant letter because he's essentially writing like a Hebraic scholar and like a Greek teacher all at the same time. It's a brilliant piece of literature. He's really a genius. Paul is insane.
Let's start in verse 4.
Well, let's do 12. I'm saying 12, he goes through the giftings. 13, he goes through the most excellent way, which is love. And then pick up at 1 Corinthians 14. So that's why I just want to give like context to like, he starts correcting massive problems. Then he goes into the fact that all these manifestations of one Spirit are one Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God. But then he says, I would prefer that all of you would prophesy. You know, and so the prophetic is key, even in the midst of a train wreck mess of a church. It's still very important. And so then he outlines the best thing you can do for faith, hope, and love. The best thing you can do is love. And then we have this idea of this is what love actually is. On the heels of that, he leads into this basically like structure, almost like this is how stuff can go down in your church meetings. But it's where our conversation went yesterday, so that's kind of what we're talking about.
This is in verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, that what good would I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or a word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as like a pipe or a harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? And again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue. How will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in tongues should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. So he's saying, do it all. I will sing with my spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, sometimes my phone gets stuck. How can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving since they do not know what you're saying? Right? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified in the process. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children in regards to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. So tongues then are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquires, and unbelievers come in, they will say that you are out of your mind. But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all. So he's kind of comparing tongues and prophecy, right? So tongues is like speaking in your spirit, praying in your spirit. Like, not everybody understands unless you have to interpretate the gift of interpretation. But prophecy can build up and edify. That's the whole point of it. So in this is, I think that there's a massive misunderstanding of the heart and nature of God in our culture, in our world, right? And part of our befriending and getting to know and understand and walk in reality with God is to convey the nature and the heart of God to people. And I think the majority of people, one of the things that for a long time, I think it was Bill Johnson, would come in and he would start out and he would be like, God is in a good mood, you know, like this kind of thing. And people didn't always understand it. And then for, like, he would say it all the time. And it was like this reality of, like, the majority of people are walking in with the belief that God is ready to punish them. He is an angry father that has consequences for their sin to be dealt out. So by speaking out to people, God is in a good mood. He has good things to say because he loves his children. It would counter that belief that says, I'm just here to be punished. Which there's a lot of that, like, in, you know, like that sort of thing. But we need, that's his whole thing, is like, how will people know? How will people come to believe if you're not there to tell them? If you're not there. So it's like, your part of your honor in saying yes is that you are a friend of God. And he doesn't leave you just kind of flailing about, right? He's here to train and to, like, go like, here, this is what I'm going to tell you. So part of what we're kind of discussing is how I felt about this is, like, one, I wanted you to know that you're a friend of God, and in some cases you're the voice of hope for people that wouldn't otherwise hear. And there's lots of times, so in that, if going, like, in my relationship with my friends, with family, and I don't always do it right, even with, you know, with Tommy, I don't always do it right. I miss people's heart. I know there's some instances where I have friendships or relationships, and something happens, maybe a misunderstanding, I always have to search it out. And if you ever walk in, you don't feel clear with a person, do you ever have that? You know it's bad when it's like you don't even want to go a place because that person might be there. You know, that's a bigger issue. But if there's something, like, that I can tell of some friendships that I have, that it's like I've had seasons where I felt like, I don't know, maybe it's like I felt missed by them or overlooked or I don't know, whatever belief, right, we fill in the story ourselves. And if I don't clear, like, with them, then it always feels a little bit odd, right? Like, it just feels like I'm not going to really be open. I'm not going to really be present. I'm not going to really... and that is same. That is true for God, right? And so what I felt like was we all have filters with which we process life information because of who we are, how we're made, how we grew up, the dynamic, how, what life has happened, like, whatever. We're always constantly filtering experiences, filtering the present based on the past. And, you know, like, and that can be good and bad. And sometimes it stumps us, right, from hope for the future. But part of what I felt was that we would have really a cleanse and a clear filter. Because the reality is when I hear something or get something from God, I'm going to share it. I'm going to share it the way that I understand it to be true at the moment, given the information, what I saw. We see in part, we prophesy in part, is what it says. So in that is, like, listening and learning, that's one of the things that we're going to kind of lead into, is how do you actually hear from God? Because you're his friend. And the other thing is, if he's telling you something for somebody else, the reason why he's telling you and not somebody else is because he wants your filter in there as well, right? Like, it's not a totally bad, like, he's going, like, I'm going to give it to Cody because Cody's going to deliver it in a way that Elijah's going to understand it in the timing in which it's given, right? So there's chemistry and timing that's all mixed in our own thing. So part of being a friend of God is keeping our filters clear, and the vessel in which we're delivering, which is our body and our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, healed and cleansed, right? And so, Tommy, will you share a little bit about when I was sharing about the filters and...
Yeah, will you change the growth button?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I'll have my sister do it. Yeah.
She's so cute.
Okay. Filters.
Liz. Okay. Yeah. So, and that's a little bit what 1 Corinthians is talking about in the instruments, right?
Yeah.
Is like the harp and my...
Oh, yeah, that's okay. So, who's got 1 Corinthians 14:8? Anybody?
Anybody?
Yeah.
And if the bugle gives a distinct sound, you will get ready to battle.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so it's bugle there. It's trumpet in mine. This is what came up in our conversation was when I was in fifth grade, I said I wanted to learn to play an instrument, so my stepdad made me play the trumpet, but because I was little, he made me play the cornet, which was lame. But here's what I got. Because the trumpet's like a normal size trumpet, but the cornet's like smaller, and like everything about it was like, come on, I can't even have like a normal size trumpet. Like Don is like such a perfectionist, and he's a music major, so he plays everything, and he's like, no, this is going to be better for you. And I'm like, I'm in fifth grade, I don't care. Like, let me just play the horn. Anyway, so I played for 2 years, and what I remember when we were talking about this was, you know, the best player in the whole world, Louis Armstrong, could be playing the trumpet, and he's amazing. But if he doesn't actually use his spit valve on his trumpet to, like, let all of the condensation, like, the spit come out of his trumpet, like, there's a valve on a trumpet that you have to blow through, and it blows out all of the water that, because it's cold metal and you're blowing hot breath in it. So condensation builds up in the trumpet, and you have to actually release the spit that builds up in your trumpet. Or when you go to play, it messes up your notes. It cuts out. It's almost like when a mic, it's like, like it's like that. That's what will happen to the notes. And so as we were talking about this in terms of the prophetic, I believe where Joshy's going. I believe in Josh, and I believe in Chrissy, and I believe in Aaron. I believe in what we're doing, and I believe that it's going to be possible just in the atmosphere when we welcome the Holy Spirit to teach us to prophesy, you're going to get activated. Stuff's going to just happen. And your gifting will be activated in the atmosphere of the prophetic. That has nothing to do with clearing out the junk in your character that ultimately will mess up your filter. If you're the instrument of God, if you're the bugle of God, if you're the trumpet of God, and the wind of God is blowing through you to communicate love to a world that needs it, but you're out of tune or you're all messed up, that's where you have a genuine prophetic gifting and a messed up filter. And so where we've been is like maybe sometimes your filter is your theology. Sometimes your filter is your history, you know, and sometimes your filter is your present. And so where we've been is really trying to deal with the issues of our soul so that you don't release in a genuine gifting stuff that's off where people don't get love from you. Ultimately, that's where Joshy was taking this at the beginning was like, it really, the prophetic gifting is it's a gift where God can communicate his love in a specific way to a world. And so for us, that's where we went. It's like if the bugle doesn't sound a clear call, people don't know what they're doing. Okay, so God is not the author of confusion. So God wants us as the instruments of his love and his mercy, as his hands and feet and voice and eyes and ears, he wants us to be healthy in our soul so that what comes through our spirit is filtered in a healthy way. If I hope that makes sense. But ultimately, that's what we were saying. We're like, yo, I know all of you can see like that. I know all of you have the ability to know where you're like, I don't know where it came from, but I just knew that person was struggling with bleh. And you're like, how did that even happen? I talked to you today. I spent some time with him and we just chatted. This dude is a train wreck. Train wreck in life. At the bar, getting hammered, hiding from his problems, totally gets like dramatic words of knowledge for like 3 girls at the bar. I don't know what it is, but I feel like you're in the medical field. I don't know if you're a doctor, but I feel like your grandma was in the medical field. And so like she prayed for you and they're like crying. Like, and he's like, I don't. And he's drunk, doesn't want to deal with it, doesn't want to talk to God, but he just knows it. Some of you guys have a knower that you've never connected with. Some of you guys have ears that you've never really filtered through, but you hear from the Lord. Some of you guys can see from the Lord. Some of you guys can speak from the Lord. That stuff will get activated in you. But if it literally just becomes the place and time for you to do gifting, you're going to have an incomplete picture of, I think, ultimately what was in Josh's heart in community for the prophetic, which is that we are designed to love and be loved. That's it. Ultimately, it's a love thing. So if we're in love school for the prophetic, I want your soul to be okay, because you guys are going to be activated in the prophetic. But if you guys are messed up still, just in general, I think God wants to deal with that. So the picture that I got, just to throw it out, because again, I feel like kind of, depending on where I'm at in the week, I can feel miles away from any of this, you know, just in general. Like, I, it's nice to get to church because I feel like, oh yeah, church. Yeah, like, it just, I mean, literally just, I mean, trying, hustling and the getting swallowed up in life, it seems like sometimes you bump up against the community of God and faith and in the faith realm and the atmosphere, and we're trying to carve out some stuff and we're like, yes. And to bump up against it, the immediate picture I got here is like, if you're not willing to go to the stable, like the Bethlehem stable version of your prophetic gifting, meaning it's little and it's rough and it's ugly, on some level, you're not going to actually experience the fullness of this thing. My invitation, and I feel like the invitation from the Lord, so for just to model the prophetic, the picture I see is Jesus in the Bethlehem stable. Swaddling clothes. It's a rough start for the King of the universe, right? It doesn't look like much. But the people that I know that I've watched grow in their prophetic gifting were willing to start in that little rough and ugly place and go like, I don't know, I felt like this. Is that wrong? Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Okay. I don't know. I guess that's, yeah, so jump in.
If I were a bullet point, friend of God, knowing that God actually wants to communicate with you, that place of like, no, he's good with me, right? And being in that receiving part. So just like I have a relationship with Tommy, and if stuff isn't clear, I can sit back and justify all the reasons why I'm right, why I did what I did, or it made sense, or I have the opportunity to acknowledge that maybe I missed his heart in the process, or maybe he missed mine, and I can communicate that with him so that the communication, the connection remains. That's really important. I think that's such a beautiful picture of marriage and friendship and family, is if the connection gets broken, there's problems. So it's like, how do you get reconnected? Which is also our conversation that we have with people that are completely unsaved, right? Is like, how do we get them reconnected with the one that created them? How do we get people that have walked away because of wounding and whatever? Everybody has an excuse, right? But there's a broken connection between them and God, or there's a broken connection between them and the Holy Spirit. And it's like, how can I get you reconnected in communication again with the Holy Spirit? So there's that. The other thing that's going to hinder is like, so in this, if going like, back to my little monk.
Hey, little monk.
My little monk. Let me see your notes from that show.
Oh, okay.
I thought she was really well, because part of our question is like that, is like, how does God communicate with you? For me, in walking, and part of it is like learning to listen to the voice of God, right? And I went to a, it was probably like an inner, what was it? Interior life course, when I was living in California. And the instructor, he'd always talk about like, okay, you've got to get your antenna out, right? And you've got to let it kind of be open to however God's going to speak, right? Yeah. And we're not tapping into the realm of the demonic, where it's like, yeah, information's out there, but it's not unto love or life or Jesus.
The source. It's really the source.
So, you know, getting locked in, getting centered into the source, that's just part of like the centering prayer. I'm locking, I'm breathing in the breath of God, letting it flow. Like, and then, so in that is like, so it's like letting it be. Do you see in pictures? So is it your, and it could be like where it's like some people, it's like movies. I see movies, I hear songs, I do the same, right? Like things that are already out in the world, and it's like the Lord brings them up right in that moment, and it's the timing and the chemistry of that word that is present for the moment, that you, maybe, you know, you didn't even wake up thinking about it, but all of a sudden it's present.
Do you guys, who here you feel like you resonate with songs or movies? Maren Green sees movies. Mm-hmm. She sees stories, like she's an actor anyway, mm-hmm. but that's how
she sees it almost in film clips.
Like a film. Like she could see the picture like it's moving. Do any of you guys see pictures? Like you get pictures when you pray? Okay.
Yeah.
Do any of you guys just have like senses? Almost you'd be like, well, I'm just trying to, you know.
I know. You're trying to speed me along, but hold on.
I know. Got notes. I'm like, you know. So,
yes.
Kid, dirty butt. Your kid's
this is
back
what,
there probably
no,
fighting each other.
She's sitting here.
Okay.
So in that, in being a friend of God, breaking connection is that if you're not careful, what you put in front of your eyes, the information that you're taking in, it will cloud the receptor in which you receive from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So in that is if you have an imagination, right? And that's what we tell our kids. It can be your imagination. Utilize, enable your imagination to be used by the Holy Spirit to actually see what, you know, what he wants you to see, or maybe something different that you hadn't thought of. However, if I feed my soul, if I feed what I see and what I'm listening to on, like, horror films and pornography and all of these things, it's going to disrupt the connection, and I get a static vibrancy, right? I get something that maybe is a little bit distorted, or it's not a cleansed filter, right? So I'm trying to make a fresh pot of coffee with a really yucky filter that is like, well, how, what good is going to come through? It's going to taste like crap, like, you know? And it's like, it's not going to be received well. So in that is like, as us being a friend of God and a vessel is like, where, one, and how do you receive information? And then two, are you able to, have you been in that place of keeping yourself clear? Clear in relationship before God, and it's really easy to clear those paths because we ask the Holy Spirit and he does it. And that's one of the things I love about Encounter, right? You come up and you find out where all the roots are, you sever those, and you get free so that all the can be clear. And then part of what we do, we have the honor of those of us that are helping or ministering in that process, is to partner with the Holy Spirit and bring it to light in a different way that maybe you hadn't seen, right? For those of you who have been, and it's really kind of fun. And so then there's other senses. So for me, in my journey, what I've learned is like, I don't always, sometimes I do see pictures. I remember the very first time I actually went and laid hands on somebody, and I actually saw a picture of them, and I didn't know that person. And so I remember speaking it out, like shaking, wanting to pee my pants, speaking it out, you know, because I'm like, I don't know this person, but like, what if, you know. But it was like this new kind of, and it was exhilarating. It was super exciting because it was like, does that register? Or does that hit? And it was like, oh, that's cool. As I've grown and as I've gone through life and walking with God, is I have this thing, I call it my knower. That's what Tommy was talking about.
Chrissy Green's got a knower.
I know in my knower. I can't explain it. I don't know where it comes from. Like, you know, it's just there. I just know that I know that I know in some things. And I could probably talk myself out of it if I give myself enough time, but I try not to. So it's like some of you will have a knower. Some of you will actually have visitations. For some, it's like more dreams. Comes in the nighttime. Like just kind of, there's all these things. For some of you, it's a physical interaction. And this one I feel like is one of the most challenging for me personally is... being in that place, like the Lord's speaking to you and it comes into physical sensation. A good example would be, I remember Kathy, oh, what's her name? She did the David and Kathy, and he wrote the children's books. Anyways, she's telling a story because she's a seer lady, and she's at a conference, and there's a person there, and she says, I know that you're hurting and you're feeling separated from whatever this big ministry, like kind of she's ministering to the, you know, the board people or whoever it is. And that person was like, totally accurate, completely true, and says, how did you know that? And she said, because my pinky toe hurt. That's what you know. And the person was actually offended because she referenced that person as a pinky toe, and the pinky toe she felt wasn't very important to the body of Christ. But that's how she felt it in her body. It was like, here's the body of Christ. And so she would be aware of the sensations. For me, like, I go automatically, oh, it's like, oh, my back hurts. Like, even though it maybe had not hurt all day long, right? All of a sudden I'm in a meeting or something, and it's like, oh, my back hurts. And I just walk away with that. But maybe it's like the Holy Spirit that's like, no, somebody's in pain.
Yeah.
You're crippled in this, or, you know, along with that comes a word of knowledge.
That's
so
it.
There's
have
all
any of you guys
different
been, if you've ever been in a meeting where Pastor Bill brings a team from Bethel, have you guys ever been in a meeting where Bill's there? And okay, if you ever get a chance, whenever they're near, like if you guys come to the family thing, he'll always bring like 14 or 15 interns from the Bethel school, and literally he'll just line them up and be like, what'd you get? And they're like, right elbow. What'd you get? Left knee. Like, they'll feel, they get words of knowledge that are like sensations in their body. And he'll just, what'd you get? I got this. Anybody with this? Yep. Okay. What'd you get? And they'll go down the line, and literally people just feel weird stuff. And that's their prophetic. The prophetic in that moment is words of knowledge for physical healing.
Yeah.
Like, is there people that need physical healing here? So that's how they sense it, is actually in their body. So it causes you to have to be a bit more aware. And the real question is this me or is this someone else?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times if you're walking around with a guilty conscience, it's way hard for God to speak to you. You know, you'll pick up what's something in the atmosphere and you'll think it's you. If you don't actually feel at peace, you're like, all of a sudden you have some weird thought and you're like, I don't think, oh, like, which is cool. But again, it's like you might get a word of knowledge that's a physical sensation in your body. That's for somebody else. If you walk into a room and all of a sudden somebody starts hurting and it wasn't hurting before, it might be good to stop and be like, Lord, is there something?
As opposed to, okay, I just need to take some ibuprofen.
Yeah, I'm going
to
take some pills.
That wasn't even your problem. That was
like,
your
ailment. Now you're all like half high off some injury that the Spirit gave you for someone else. They need your drugs. I'm just kidding. But
no.
It's like, not really, but it's.
It's there's that. So one of the, okay. The little monk lady, she is teaching a cooking class at a university there, and she says to the students, you know, it's all subtitles, and she says, you need to experience it with all five senses, right? Like, experience the food, experience what it is that you're putting, like, with all five senses. And so immediately I'm like, okay, you touch it, and you smell it, and you hear it, and you taste it, right? Like, yeah. Okay. That's not what she said. And I felt like she just elevated, right? And she says the five senses are this: body, feeling, perception, intention, and consciousness. Right? Like, what if you were able to actually experience life? Body, right? Which I was like, that is all the typical five senses that we deal with. The actual feeling, right, our emotional state, like actually connecting with what is happening, the perception of that, which again, that brings in the filter in which we carry, intention, right, our heart's desire, like the place where we're coming from, that's the intention, and then the consciousness that's happening. And most of us go through life completely unconscious of what's happening around us. Right, we're so engulfed in our own experience and that sort of thing. And that's where it's like kind of some of these giftings are like, maybe it's not just you, maybe it's those around you as well. Right? And she says this, which kind
we stopped
of,
it. We freeze framed it and just typed it for like like it was so good.
She says creativity and ego cannot go together. If you free yourself from the comparing and jealous mind, your creativity opens up endlessly, just as water springs from a fountain. Creativity springs from every moment.
Comparing mind, jealous mind, ego, creativity.
Mm-hmm.
If you let go of that, all of a sudden what? Rivers of water. Like she's talking about creativity the way we would talk about the Holy Spirit. It just flows. Like if you let go of, well, I'm not looking like this person. My gift doesn't work like that person.
Yeah.
I don't know if I, like, if you
and
let go of that,
is,
you could be yourself.
We're creative. We have creativity because of the Creator in which we're connected to. And so what I want to do is I'm going to kind of end on this. Yeah?
Can I show a video really fast?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have 2 minutes.
I know you do. I get it. And you got like 48 steps to go. It's going to be really cool. your Fitbit. I caught this little clip from Sean that I thought was really awesome. And I want you to listen to what he says as a person. Don't listen to him for a second as like some crazy prophet spiritual guy. Listen to his process as he feels from God. Okay? Because I think what I like about Sean is he's the same in front of 75,000 people as he is in front of 10 of his friends. It's the same cool. Dude.
What is this video?
It's the U.S. Marshal, the Air Marshal.
Oh, yeah. I just watched that today.
Yeah, it's good, right? Okay.
For the sake of the video, for the sake of the recording, what were you kind of...
Happened last year that I loved. I was sitting on an airplane, and I was sitting next to a man in his maybe mid-60s, and I got upgraded to business class, and so I'm sitting next to him. We're going across the ocean, and no, we're coming back across the ocean, sorry. And he was just the nicest guy, and he's telling me, like, I'm only flying for a month or two more, and then I'm done. It's so great. And I said, well, what do you do? And he told me about the oil industry job he has. And then he started telling me about his wife and about some of their plans. And just it was just a really sweet conversation. And he said, what do you do? I'm like, okay. I'm a pastor in Los Angeles. And, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff where our theme is love, creativity, and justice. And so we do stuff against human trafficking. We do stuff against, you know, we're trying to fight for just anti-slavery in the world right now. I don't know why. I think we're currently on a project. So it was the most current thing in my heart because I just got out of a meeting about it. So I told him that, you know, like, was this in a meeting about this? Sure, that's what I do. And I said, and we teach people how to, like, really hear from God and read the Bible in a way that's listening, you know, to what God's saying right now, life application for now. And he goes, that's fascinating. So we just talked, you know, for a little bit more. And then he got up and left. And as he got up and left, God said, he's the air marshal. And I was like, that's cool. And he said, this is his wife's name. This is her anniversary. Like, I heard the Lord say it. And then I just got some word association stuff. Like, I saw his daughter's name by a friend of mine who I'll just call her Karen. And I knew his daughter was named Karen. And I knew they were having a hard time keeping babies because they'd had a number of miscarriages. And so I'm seeing all this stuff. And he sits back down next to me. And I'm thinking, how am I going to start this conversation? We have hours left on the plane. Should I wait until we're landing? What do I do, you know? And he says, so tell me what this is like teaching people how to hear from God. That's his first thing. I'm like, this is awesome. And I'm like, well, it's funny because I'm kind of having a spiritual moment. He goes, what does that mean? I go, I don't know. But it's about you and your wife. You know, I always say, I don't know, because I don't really know anything, you know. It's about you and your wife. And I tell him what kind of the stuff that I was just telling you. And he starts getting tears. But when I talk about his daughter and their previous miscarriages and what was going on, he starts to openly cry. And then at the end, I said, and you're the air marshal. God showed me the air marshal. He goes, I'm not the air marshal. You know, and I'm like, oh, that's cute. He can't tell me, maybe. I don't know if it's legal. I don't know. It's really sweet. He can't tell me. And I just thought, how beautiful is this? Like, when I'm leaving and we're hugging, I'm getting off the plane, people are looking at us weird. Like, the cabin crew is looking at us weird. So I'm like, well, he's the air marshal, you know. And I go to baggage claim and to security and the whole thing. And he comes out and he puts his hand on my shoulder because he went away. He didn't come with all of us off the plane. So I knew he was the air marshal. And he comes and he puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, young man, I had to do a background check on you to see if you were legit. Because you scared me. I even told him, like, you've had a dream of going to the vineyards of Tuscany and, like, this, whatever. I mean, I was telling him all this stuff, you know, like, he's like, this can't be real. This can't happen. And he goes, I can't believe that God cares enough about my family and my plans that he'd send you to sit next to me.
Okay. Did you guys hear I'm talking about before all this, because this is years of him learning how he filters. I heard him say, I got word associations. I saw pictures. God spoke. I just felt. I like knew, but then I didn't know how to bring it up. All the stuff that we go through when we're out in the city. Didn't you hear it? He's just a dude. I don't know. All I know is this thing that works in my life is going off. And he's even telling me that I'm getting stuff wrong. No, I'm not the air marshal. No, that's not right. Even though visibly he's like being moved. So this is real. This is a dude that is massively gifted. He's got a gifting that's awesome. His heart is for people. There's not guile in this. He's not out to like prove anything. It's just happening. And he's like, oh, have you ever felt like God's telling you to do something? And you're like, that's going to be uncomfortable. I don't know when to do that. Should I wait till we land? What if I tell him this and I've got 9 hours left on this flight? Just sitting next to this dude awkwardly. Like, you've ever been trapped in a... Anyways, so he's dealing with all the same emotions we are. Isn't that comforting when we're at the beginning of a journey? That's what I'm saying. It's like this dude has filtered so many of these conversations. And then to come to find out the guy's like, I had to run a background check on you. How cool, right? Because he's just like, this is where I'm at. I'm sorry. This is what the Lord's at. So this is years, but I heard him say, the Lord spoke to me. Then he sees a picture of like Penelope and he goes, oh, and your daughter Penelope, and then gets like miscarriage. So he's got word associations happening. God's speaking to him. He's feeling stuff. It's all working. And then he's just trying to figure out the best way to tell him. So what did he say? Do you guys remember the phrase he used when he went to go share with him?
Well, he was saying, I don't know how I'm going to, and the guy said, tell me about how you hear from God.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I'm experiencing it right now.
Yeah, he said, I'm having a spiritual moment.
Yeah.
It's a real interesting like dynamic, but even that was like the break-in point of the conversation. I'm kind of having a spiritual moment right now.
Yeah.
What is that? I don't know. Boom. So you guys, like, he's learning how to do this the same way that we are. His whole heart is to empower rooms of us to do this stuff. So
yeah.
Chrissy's going to do
yeah.
the activation now.
So
but I just wanted to throw that out so you could...
Which I really love about Sean, because I've watched him in front of stadiums full of people, like hundreds of thousands of people. And I've watched him in a room full of 30 people, and it's the same, and he's still nervous. Like, I don't know if this is right, like whatever. And I just feel like, really? How many times have you done this? It's right every time. And I just think it's so cool. And I'll tell you, like, a confession from myself is I've had multiple, because I was thinking about him in that moment where he's going like, I'm having a spiritual moment or spiritual experience right now. And in that feeling, like, how many times do I have that and I don't pay attention?
Yeah.
And for me, it's a lot. Which I think, on one hand, it's like really cool because I think, oh my God, like God's really talking, right? And then on the other, I'm like kicking myself in the tail because I'm like, why aren't I listening? You know, I have to wait for, you know, and so I like confessing that before you of going like, I really want to be better, be more attuned, more present to that because I want to live supernaturally naturally supernatural, whatever, right? Like I want it to be part of my everyday life. So I've had multiple conversations in the last few weeks where what's funny is like a handful of them are having to do with babies, with people, and I would like have wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, thinking about so-and-so, like whatever, you know, and then I think, but it's not, these are not people that I live in close proximity with all the time, and so they're kind of far out, and it's like, and then I get a text later on during the day, hey, do you have time to talk, like whatever, it's like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about you this morning, right, and it's like, call, and it's like, hey, we're pregnant, and it's like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about that this morning, wondering if you guys are going to have another baby, right? It's like some of those where I just feel like I've had multiple times like that where it's like I need to get in a better habit of when somebody comes to mind that I just kind of shoot a text and like check in, because I've also had it on the flip side where it's like, oh my gosh, my life is falling apart. And it's like, oh, I just saw that this morning. Like that is not new information. And going like, how can I be a like one... train a little bit, be a little bit more disciplined in that gifting because I don't want it to go away, like I don't, that, like opportunities, and then like what does it mean all the time? So I want you to stand up. We'll just kind of end with this and take 3 minutes, if we can. And I just want you to kind of get comfortable, right? Like we did the seated, but this time you're standing, so kind of shake it off and close your eyes, get in a posture of receiving. And this is my favorite, right? And even kind of lock into your breath again, right? Where we started, what it feels like to breathe in, what it feels like to breathe out. And I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit this question in your own words. You can modify it as you need. Is Holy Spirit, where are my filters? Where have I not cared for my filter? Where have I not cared for my instrument? And maybe the sound isn't love. It's more like a banging gong. And in that moment, because it's most likely it's the first thing that you hear, first thing that you sense, whatever. And I just want you to ask him, Holy Spirit, cleanse me. Isaiah, he said he had that experience with an angel bringing the coal to his lips so that he could speak. on his eyes so that he'd see. So just an opportunity, because it's like in a moment's time, washed with the blood of Jesus. It's the power in the name of Jesus to confess your sin, and he will separate it as far from the east as from the west. There's no memory of it. And so in that place of just receiving an actual healing, an actual mending, and a reconnection, where have I given my eyes where I shouldn't, given my sensations where I shouldn't have, that has broken connection, and restore me by the power and the blood of Jesus. And then I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, how or where, in what way, do I receive from you? And then what do you get? Holy Spirit, is there somebody in this room that needs to know how you see them? There's somebody in my family. And then I just want to, I want to hear from you for one, but I want to pray specifically for, because one of the things that keeps coming up, and maybe it's just kind of something that's been in, is rainbow babies, right? The babies that come after miscarriages, after loss. Mm-hmm. Sean just spoke about it. I've in a number of people that I've spoken with, mm-hmm. and I know that there's some here in our congregation, in our small group, that have the desire to be pregnant, and it hasn't happened. So I just want to pray and release that. So Holy Spirit, just thank you for new life. Thank you for recreating healthy habitats for babies to thrive. Thank you, God, for the promise of new life after loss and suffering. And we just speak forth babies, that there be a legitimate birthing of new life. A heart's desire, a tree of life that is the hope fulfilled. It's this tree of life. And so I just pray for these women right now, and the ones that are, their hearts cry, like even in the quietness of the nights and in the quiet times with their husbands, of that heart's desire that says, I want to conceive a child, and I want to bear our own children. And so we just release life over the wombs of women in the name of Jesus. Did anybody else get anything, feel anything, hear anything, know anything? That you want to share? Okay, let me ask it like this. Did anybody get something weird? Okay, Omid, let's hear it. Oh, like a physical sensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like thinking about
it. Oh, that's good. And so that's it. Like, so anything like that, right? A lot of times burning of hands, tingling or sweatiness or something like that. And so then the next question is like, okay, Holy Spirit, what does this mean? Who is this for? Right? Because sometimes he's like, lay hands on yourself, pray for yourself. Right? Which is cool. It's like, okay, you know, and sometimes it's for other people, huh? It's all about me. No, I mean, what else? Because I think most people, in walking through some of the stuff, like even when we do some of the inner healing and sozo type thing, it's like, okay, what'd you get? And it's like most of the time it's prefaced with, okay, I know this is weird, but, and, you know, because it's like, I don't know, out of, this is probably not right. And it's like, that's probably the telltale sign that, yes, he's speaking to you, and like to lean into that, because then it's like you're going to know within the first couple times whether or not that's true or accurate. Cody, you, I don't know if you shared this story in front of everybody, but about you were wanting something new. You wanted to do stuff like that, and you got the picture, or you knew something about the guy, and you didn't do it right away. You did it the next day.
Yeah, I pulled out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Josh, so, did that the week it happened.
Yeah. And that was part of learning, right?
Yeah.
So what was it? You got
a
picture?
Ear.
Oh, left ear.
And I just, like, it was just like where it, like, came back to, like, left ear blockage, and then, like, found there the next day, prayed for it, and opened up.
Yeah.
But on that note, when Tom was talking about earlier about the Bethel stuff,
uh-huh.
I got, like, right ear for somebody. I don't know if anyone has anything in their right ear right now.
Anybody?
Is anybody?
Right
Is
ear.
Anyone's right ear messed up? I don't know. It was just when Tom was talking about the Bethel stuff. I got, like, weird sensation on my ear, so. In your right ear?
Yeah, it's like that
is a part of
it,
kind of
doing that, but it's always just the right ear.
Okay.
Pray. Do it.
Let's do it.
That's awesome.
Can you feel
it
in your
right now? Well, I mean, like, I don't have problems with right now, but it's been, like, whenever, like, when I'm cold or just something,
okay.
Like, it
just
starts
bugging
you.
Yeah, still there right now. Yeah, just feeling right now, just, so just open up this ear, and if there's any infections,
right.
You're going to do it right now, and there's no more,
all right. Wow, that's cool. I had a. Who else?
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, so is it well? So when I'm praying for someone, or I'll get. I mean. A verse in the Bible.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, that's what comes to me a lot. Just
yeah.
Different, yeah, different scriptures that,
yeah.
You know, I haven't read it for a long time, but it'll just come
all
into
of
my
sudden.
Mind, you know. Yeah.
In association with somebody that you're praying for.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that sounds like a word from the Lord.
I mean, it's totally
the word.
Word.
That's what
Lord.
I think
so
it's the.
Yeah. What I'm wondering is
yeah.
that. What,
start,
prophecy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Would you
yeah.
consider that prophecy?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Totally, because especially right. if you ask the Lord, should I share it or do
I
pray?
Always,
it?
I just kind of, I try yeah. and empty myself, you know, as
yeah.
I'm.
Well, I think,
and then the scripture will come to
yeah.
mind.
Yeah.
Bill, what I appreciate about Pastor Bill, and I liked what you were, like where you just went, is he said. For him, he's seen people healed of cancer. I mean, we've seen how many people healed of cancer, like, on the spot. Like, when we prayed for people over the years, and he said, an inspired thought from God to a human, to him, is every bit a miracle.
Yeah.
So to go from, I was not thinking about this,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
to he puts his thought in my brain,
yeah.
that's a powerful interaction between heaven and earth. And I, for me, the safest seedbed for all revelation is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'll always get a verse. Everything
mm-hmm.
we do, I'll try to find out where can
mm-hmm.
I put that in
mm-hmm.
the Bible, because I just want it to be so
mm-hmm.
grounded in something. So for you, if that's where it starts, the
yeah.
thing that Chrissy was saying that I think would be fun for you is, do I say it or do I pray it?
Mm-hmm.
One of the best questions when I was in Kansas City years ago,
mm-hmm.
and somebody was
wasn't that
asking,
long ago.
It was like 10 years, 12, 13 years or something. And 14, whoa.
Just come
and,
on.
And the lady that was leading the little group that we were part of, it was like the question was about tithing, but I've kind of applied it to all these things. But she said, anything that she gets, income, gifts, words, whatever, the question is this bread to eat or seed to sow?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, just as simple, like, where it's like, I give and I receive, like, an open hand, like, that sort of thing. So even in your verses, like, okay, do I sow this in prayer, like, or in a word, where do I text them, call them up and say, hey, I was just thinking about you, and this is, I wanted to encourage you, whatever, or is this something that I sit on and just let it be part of
One of our key leaders, I sent a Bible verse to him, very simple Bible verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He moved to, like, Hungary because
mm-hmm.
of whatever the Lord did with that.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you sent me this word, you sent me a Bible verse in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I just felt it and sent it to him. I'm just like, oh, whatever. It's like, I just pray the peace of God be with your spirit. That was like, it was like that simple for him, what the Lord opened up for him. He moved his whole family to Europe. So don't underestimate the power of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what you got and the Lord's like, share it, you never know that the word never returns void.
Yeah.
So if that's the
yeah.
currency God gives you to share with someone,
that's
who knows what that does to their inner life,
yeah.
you know, years down the road, I think it's glorious. And I would take it serious like that. The Lord gave me this verse for you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's the stuff I hang on to for
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jesus passed the note to someone. When it's the mm-hmm. Bible, I feel like he told you that verse. All right, I'll live there mm-hmm. for a while. That's what we did for a full year on Psalm 37. Mm-hmm. When we moved out here, someone gave us that verse. We prayed it every single day for like a year. Because we're like, okay. The last activation I wanted to pray for, because I felt like I should when I was up here, is if you guys will sit down just for 1 second. I just wonder, because I just feel like it'll move. Some of you guys it'll feel like music. Some of you guys it'll feel like sensation. Some of you guys will see it. And if there's pressure, or you're pressuring yourself, or you just feel a little bit off, it's fine. It may or may not be anything, and that's okay. Again, like no pressure. No pressure. But I'd invite you guys to close your eyes just for a second. This is going to go really fast. Okay, I'm not trying to get you guys to like nirvana and then you'll levitate and then we'll talk about it. Like this is a quick, it could happen and I love it, but I don't want any of you guys to feel like, oh my God, I'm going to have to sit here and it's like this crazy expectation. All right, ready? So close your eyes for a moment and here's the pray. Here's the pray. What am I talking about? Anyways, here's the prayer. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, in your own heart, just ask Holy Spirit, can you show me a color that's relevant for me? Cool. Okay. What did you guys get? Yeah. You got green? Who else?
I like green.
Green and green. You got a burnt orange. Okay. Now, so it just happens, right? Some of you guys saw it. Some of you guys could almost feel it. Sometimes I feel colors when it's revelation. Sometimes when it's angelic revelation, when there's an angel that's carrying something, it's a color to me. I don't understand it. I just shake. Stupid. But it's awesome. Sorry. But when I'll feel the color creep into my peripheral vision. Almost like if you bump up against a hot coal, the orange of it would like creep on your face. That's kind of how sometimes color feels for me. Sometimes I feel color. I don't see it. So we prayed, Holy Spirit, is there a color that's relevant? Some of you guys saw it. Now close your eyes again really fast. This is all we're going to do. I just felt like this is just to activate your interior world a little bit. Ask the Holy Spirit, is this for me or is it for someone else? Cool. Okay, what did you guys get? Like a vine?
Yeah, it feels a little bit like if someone's taking one of those back scratchers and lightly dragging their fingernails.
Yeah.
I felt that going up in the bathroom, so God is this color green for me and for someone else. And I was also getting blue and orange.
Yeah.
But green was like, so I saw blue on the left and the orange on the right, and then green kind of like coming in between them, more closer to my face.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, that's what I first saw, and I said,
I would take it for you. I'd hang out for a little bit in it. Mm-hmm. Who here got a color and it wasn't for you? Did anybody? Okay, who's it for? Okay, cool. So here's the thing then. So this is what I'd say.
You didn't say that question.
So sorry. Final thing then, right? So what is there anything that's pertinent to me? We're using color because color is kind of easy. We're not asking for a bunch of detailed information. Yes, I got a color.
I don't know what it is.
Come on.
But it's like, it was like the color, it was like sunset kind of thing, but it's like, there's like pine trees, just like a huge like line of pine trees and it tells my heart.
Yeah.
Pine trees green.
I think we're good. Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. Last thing, because sometimes it's for you, sometimes it's for someone else. The thing is, just like when you read the word, there's what did it mean for them? What does it mean for me? Can I apply it? So here's application. Close your eyes again. If you got a color, if you got something, even an emotion, you feel touched by the Lord in some way, if it's for you or for someone else, let's ask the Holy Spirit right now, what does this mean? Mary Beth, what'd you get?
Sorry.
It's kind of fun watching stuff pop off. Where I'm like, oh, that's sick.
All I kept hearing was the Candyman song.
From Willy Wonka. Yo, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to, today, I want you to pull it up and I want you to read the lyrics.
Okay.
As listen, you guys, like, we're starting Bethlehem Stable. This is not, we want you to be perfect and mature, complete people, but we're not looking for you guys to never make mistakes. We're not looking for perfection out the gate. We just want you to know that you can even remotely connect first. We're treating everyone like we're all starting over right now in a lot of ways so that we can grow together in a new paradigm of the prophetic. We're here to love, love, love. That's it. So new prophetic paradigm for all of us. Can I feel? Can I hear? Can I see? Answer is yes. But I want you guys to have fun with this. So Mary Beth, that is a good word. Yes. Who can take the sunrise? Like, read the lyrics and you'll be like, oh my gosh. Like, he'll start talking to you in the weirdest ways, right? This childlike, beautiful song. So good. I bet you get rocked on that goofy song already happening. Anyway, so it's super good. So does that make sense, you guys? Is this for me or for someone else? Because in these meetings, what I'd like for you guys, I think what Josh would like too on some level, is when it's time to minister, that you have a lot of tools in your arsenal. Is there a verse I can share with someone? Is there a picture I can share with them? Is there just a feeling? It's like a color almost. I can feel this thing for you. Is there an animal? Like your animal words. Like Josh would get animals. And
I don't anymore, but that's what I needed because it was silly for me to speak it out.
It was like a step.
And after that, then I've got other things. Sometimes I do, but it just seems so weird to me. Like jackrabbit, you know, bear, snake, like all these other things. And it's like it felt silly to me. But it was this training ground of my heart to be willing to speak things out with people that seemed off, and then he's been able to give me more because I said yes to that.
I feel like when you guys said, there's a couple of you guys that said green, and I felt like it was absolutely like renewal. It was renewal. It was like a new season. It was like this, the phrase I got is from the old worship song where it says, I was a burned out forest, a dried out river. And then Shane Devine used to sing it. He said, but you put food in my belly, water in my dry bread, or my dry bed, and to my blackened branches, you brought the springtime green of new life. And so when you guys kept saying green, I'm like, man, people here need new life. Like we need new life, new life, new life. And so I thought, if you get that, what a cool way to go. God, is there anything I can share from this? Yeah, will you pray and declare over them a new season? Would you... a refreshing, whatever it is. Like, but does that make sense, you guys? You have these tools, but we're just going to learn to discern. That's what Hebrews says. Mature food, solid food is for the mature who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. So we're going to learn how to grow our spiritual senses so we can discern what's me, what's something else, what's God. Really, that's it. You're not trying to listen to Satan, right? And you're not trying to make up stuff, right? So really, we're just trying to figure out what's me and what's God. Like, that's it.
And God's in a good mood.
He's super stoked.
And it's for edification.
He's the Candyman.
Not tearing down.
It's so good.
Yeah. So, God bless you guys.
Yeah, is that cool? Is that good,
practice.
You guys? Good.
Yeah.
Is anybody else wanting to go to Ogden from Salt Lake to car with Aaron and I? Amanda, you can write back.
I'm going to
bring you back to your car. If you want...